This is Gina Marie Rodriguez, and you're listening to the Jersey Arts Podcast. You may know Billy Bob Thornton as an Oscar-winning writer, an Oscar-nominated actor, award-winning director, or maybe you simply know him as Bad Santa. But did you know that he is also an accomplished singer and songwriter? Along with his friend J.D. Andrew, Billy founded the rock and roll group The Boxmasters. The Boxmasters have recorded an impressive and diverse catalog of music that touches on their love of a wide array of influences. But most importantly, the rock and roll of the 1960s. Their tour will soon bring them to New Jersey, where audiences can enjoy the up-tempo tunes reminiscent of the Beatles, Birds, and Beach Boys. Having opened for the likes of ZZ Top, Steve Miller, George Thorogood, and Kid Rock, the Boxmasters have proven to win over large audiences. Today, I am joined by Billy Bob Thornton and J.D. Andrew, who are currently on a cross-country tour of the U.S. promoting their latest album, 69. They're joining me today from their tour bus in Georgia. Thank you so much for meeting with me today. I know that the Boxmasters began as a project in, 2006, 2007. So that's a whopping 17 years together, and you still like each other. I think that's the real feat here. But my question there is, how do you maintain a working relationship like that for 17 years?
Well, we just have, you know, pretty much all our interests are, you know, the same. And we're both not only
extremely codependent.
Yeah. And, we have not only music in common, and when he and I formed the band, we are the original members. And we also are big baseball fans. I mean, sort of sports in general, but huge baseball fans. So on the bus, we watch baseball, and in the studio, we watch baseball and golf. We watch the LPGA. We watch the College Baseball World Series and the Softball World Series every year. So, yeah, I mean, we just, I don't know, we're too tired to be mad at each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's the gist, is we like the same things. And, you know, we have not exactly similar upbringings, but, you know, we're both, you know, from a general same birthplace, you know. We both have Kansas in our names, so the states we were born in. So it's the main thing. The reason that we can keep going is we keep feel like we keep getting better, and we keep pushing each other to do better. And, you know, it's like we always want to write the next best song. We want to make the next best record, you know, do the best things we can possibly do. And, you know, I feel like we've got a partnership that allows us to do that. You know, we together, we do pretty freaking good. I don't know, separately, he does okay. I don't do jack. I don't do anything else. It's like I go hang out with my kids and take them to school, and that's about it.
Well, yeah, I think that's great. You know, you hear a lot about bands imploding over the years, so I think it helps to actually genuinely like each other. So I'm grateful for that.
No, we don't like each other. We just, you know, we just tolerate each other and like the same thing, so it's easy to talk about stuff.
Of course, my mistake. Toleration is wonderful, too. So as I can see, you guys you're currently on a cross-country tour promoting your album 69, and it's such a wonderful upbeat album. Like I said, I've been bopping to it all morning. But is there a particular song that's a favorite of yours, or just something that's a little close to your heart? I know I have mine, but I want to hear yours first.
Well, I mean, the song on there that like sounds like it's actually the one the label picked for the single from this record, is Chestnut Eyes. Very fond of that song. I mean, we love all of them for different reasons, you know, you know, I mean, right now, I can't remember. We're playing many songs on the tour. Yeah. I don't remember which ones are on this record.
Yeah, but I mean, one of my favorites, you know, for, you know, kind of personal reason is A Big Sunshine. Because that song came about because my wife and sons were, I don't know, on a road trip or something while we were on the road last year. And they took a picture and the sun was behind them. And my youngest, who was about 5 at the time, said, "Mommy, it looks like a big sunshine." And so she sent us that, you know, my son had said that and said, "Hey, this might be a good song title for you guys." And so I told Billy that, you know, "Hey, we got this title. I don't have any idea what it could be," but Billy took that, and within, you know, a few days, it's like, here we go. We had a song. So once we got back home, we recorded it, and, you know, so that's, you know, got a soft spot for me. Plus, I think the music and the whole thing is, you know, is pretty brilliant. I love that song because we got a lot of crazy stuff going on. It sounds like a circus. It sounds like a acid trip. It's a wild song.
Oh, well, I like that song too, and I hope your son is getting royalties on that because he did a great job.
He's gonna have to work for his money.
And also the song Antonika on there was inspired by my daughter, so we have two songs on there. And this is not the first time our kids inspire us to write a lot of different songs, either from a title or just a comment they make or whatever.
That's wonderful. I think it's really important to have those familial inspirations. So that was one of my questions. So I'm glad you guys brought it up. I'd love to think that Jersey is going to be your favorite spot. You'll be here very soon. But can you tell me a little bit about how the tour is going and what you're looking forward to when you do reach us in New Jersey?
Well, I mean, first of all, the tour has been going great. It's been, I guess, what have we done, like 14 shows?
Something like that, I think. I just know today is night six of 12 nights in a row. So, I hurt right now. And, you know, we'll be okay by showtime, but right now, you know, this early afternoon kind of thing, you know, it's like, I feel like we were played a football game last night. It's just like every muscle and bone in my body hurts. And so, you know, but it's been great. We've had a ton of sold out shows, and the shows that weren't sold out had, you know, fantastic audiences that were, you know, really excited to see us. It's been really great. And, you know, talking about New Jersey, I mean, we played the Lavoie Theater in Millville a few years ago and had a blast. It's a beautiful place. And we had a, you know, great time. The people there were super great to us. And we really had a great time. Did I say great enough times in that long run-on sentence? So anyway, we're looking forward to it again. And we've done another interview with the professor from Monmouth University, and so, you know, we're looking forward to going there because it's the first time for us to play in whatever town that is, because I can't remember at the moment.
Well, that's wonderful, and I don't think anybody in New Jersey is going to fight you for calling us great, so thank you. Say it as many times as you like. So you'll be at two places, like you said, the Lavoie, which is an absolutely stunning theater, and that's on June 21st. And then on June 24th, you'll be at the Pollock Theater at Monmouth University Center for the Arts. If you don't mind, it's not often that I get to chat with an Oscar winner. So I hate to ask any artist to choose their.
Okay. I'll do my best.
Yeah, he's good with it.
Pretty really.
Thank
is.
You. I appreciate you placating me here. But I hate to ask any artist to choose their favorite medium. But Billy, if you don't mind, how do you balance life between the film world and the music world and family? That's a lot to juggle.
Well, I mean, in the last several years, it's been mainly music. You know, I've made very few film projects. I did a cameo for Taylor Sheridan, and I did a movie called Gray Man over in Europe. And other than that, I haven't done much lately. I'll do another one, you know, sometime soon, but it's never been really hard to do. I mean, the music agents know when we're on tour or we're making a record that just to don't call me, you know. And then when I'm doing a film project, everybody knows that for that length of time, I'm out. So, but it's actually kind of a welcome break, you know, for us when I do a film project, because we're gone so much. And we're in the studio so much that's almost like our vacation when I do a film, because then
Totally is.
even JD gets to be at home with his
Get to,
family,
yeah,
and
get to recharge a little
yeah.
bit, you know, because I mean, when we do, when Billy is home, we do work as much as possible. We'll have, you know, family commitments that, you know, take precedence, you know, but for the most part, you know, we're in the studio constantly. And I believe it was March or April, we mixed three new records that we've recorded all since the last tour, because we finished 69 before we did the tour last year. We played a few songs from it during that, and then that was all done. And so we got back, and it's like, okay, new record time. So we started recording. We had an idea to do one record, and so we were working on that. But as that went, we started writing some other songs, and they felt like a different record. So we just kept going. It's like we don't have a clock now. We have our own studio, so we just record whatever we want, however we want to do it. And so if we want to start this one record and then move into another one and then bounce back and forth, we do that. So we record whatever song, you know, feels like it wants to be recorded that day and make the most of it. So, and then we've started another record since then, so that we've got about three songs recorded on, and when we get back home, we'll keep working on that, see what pops up.
And also on the film projects, I can take my family with me because we're in one spot for a period of time. But, when we're on the road, that's probably the toughest part of being out here is missing the kids and our spouses and that kind of thing. But this year they've actually come out a couple of times. I mean, that obviously life on the bus is not good for your kids.
Well, they'd love it if they
They,
just didn't
yeah.
have the rest of the band and the crew
Yeah.
guys and all that on there.
Oh
If it was their bus, they would totally
yeah.
be, you know, this would be the life for them. So there's all sorts of things to climb on and hide in and hide stuff. And my kids always find all the candy or snacks, potato chips, anything that anybody's hidden on the bus, they find it whenever they get on.
That would be me. I'm in my 30s, but that would still be me.
We wrote a song, you know, more recently, that was basically a tribute to my middle son's band that he started for about 2 days. And
Two whole days.
yeah, they had started playing the recorder in third grade. And so he and some buddies started a band immediately. And so he was pretty confident that he was the best recorder player kind of ever, and that they could, you know, make a band out of it. And so Billy started making a song in tribute to their band and using some of the stuff, because they wrote a song, and so Billy incorporated some of the lyrics from their song into ours, and named the song after their band name and all that. So it's
The Firewing
the
Falcons.
Firewing Falcons. That's what it
That's a great name.
Isn't
It
it?
is. I'm
So,
looking forward to hearing that song and theirs.
yeah,
Awesome.
exactly. They'll probably be a lot more famous than us.
Yeah.
I'm another screw that you tried turning. You wouldn't put me out if I were burning. I love you more than anyone I've ever hated.
Speaking of, you know, the film world and music worlds working in harmony, the two of you, I believe, worked together on a film project. Jane Mansfield's Car, is that correct? So,
Yes.
what was it like working in that capacity together?
Well, I mean, it's pretty easy because we already kind of knew what we were going to do. We scored the movie, and we'd scored a couple of other things and had a few songs in movies, before. But I mean, that obviously you don't do anything. They just said, "Can we use your song?" But scoring it was actually a lot of fun to do. But we didn't want to call ourselves by our real names, so. With it's because if they don't know that, oh, I wrote the film and starred in it and directed it, that kind of stuff. Oh, great, does his own music
And
too.
I music consulted it.
But really what it was me and JD and Brad Davis, and we had to come up with one name that we could be. We wanted to make like it was one guy, so we were called Owen Easterling Hatfield, and we thought Owen Easterling Hatfield sounds fancy, like some British guy or whatever, so that's what we called ourselves. And each one of us picked out like a name, and we put them together, like Hatfield was me, because I, at one point when I was a kid, lived in a town called Hatfield. And then yours was something to do with your relative.
No, I think I was Lloyd Mortimer Owen or something. using my grandparents' names. Yeah. But, I mean, honestly, you know, making, at least the way we do it, making movie music, you know, score is a lot of fun and almost simpler than, you know, recording a song, because you're just making music. And, you know, we make music nonstop. It's, you know, finding lyrics and a melody that go on top of a piece of music that, you know, makes a song and, you know, makes something that people remember. Scores are a lot of just, you know, making spooky noises and, you know, making things that only have one section. They don't have to go to a chorus or a, you know, B section or a bridge or things like that. It's just like, okay, we're going to start here. We're going to end here. What can we do in between that? And it's, you know, plus, for us, it's, yeah, it's
also
very simple.
The thing is how, like, the scenes actually kind of tell you what the music needs to be.
Totally.
I mean, it's like that, you know, you can just watch scenes and they, and it's like, wow, that one of us will make a noise or have a melody in our head and for it. You know, some scenes you write music for it that actually is married to the scene in such a way as it's like, yeah, it feels like the scene. And sometimes we'll do something wacky, like, you know, go completely against what the sentiment of the scene is, you know, and just make some crazy thing. But yeah, it's actually kind of fun to do.
Yeah, you can really lead, you know, you can play with people's emotions, you know, by, you know, having a moody, you know, kind of haunting kind of sound behind something that's more lighthearted, you know, and you can really change the scene that way. Or you can have a really kind of heavy emotional moment on screen, but then the music is playful and fun behind it. And so you can kind of, you know, play with people's emotions. And that's fun to do, to just really kind of play against the scene.
You mean like you play with mine?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm going to stab you after this.
I have heard nothing. I'm not a witness. So you mentioned that, you know, writing lyrics is actually the harder part. You know, you're making music all of the time. So that leads me to ask, how do you guys manage to write lyrics? Do you work together to come up with lyrics? Do you take turns as to who's writing? How does that collaboration happen? Oh, he's shaking his head now.
Well, no, that's all Billy. I couldn't write. I think I've come up with one title, maybe two, over the course of our, you know, 500 or 700 songs we've written together.
Well, titles are hard, so give yourself some credit.
They are hard.
It's mostly all my song titles are like, how can I put the word rain in every song title? Because my dad told me something's like, you know, you want a hit song, you got to put rain in it. And it's like, he told me that 20 something years ago. And it's like, all these songs have rain. And so I kind of stuck with that. So I've come up with a couple of rain titles for songs, and that's been about it.
I think that's a good piece of advice. That and take from your son.
I notice more often that, you know, it's like, oh, Billy will say something, and I'm like, oh, that sounds like a song, or, you know, that's a song title. And so we'll write it down, and then he'll write it. But, you know, thankfully I have a obsessive compulsive creator partner who is constantly writing. It's we used to, you know, our old keyboard player Teddy would come in and say, hey, I've been gone for a week and you guys have already written another album. And now it's the same thing. It's like, it's, you know, I'll come in after a weekend or something and Billy will have five songs, you know, all the lyrics written for him. And then we'll have to sit down and, you know, maybe hopefully he'll have a melody for a piece of it. And then we'll find the music that goes for that. Or, you know, we'll come up with something that's, you know, where all the music has to be written for this. And other times he'll have all of the music and the words, and it's just a matter of connecting a piece of it to another piece and figuring out how we get from one section to the next. So it's different ways all the time, but the lyrics are all coming from him, and I will take absolutely no credit for that.
Well, Billy, you've done a great job because I love them all, so thank you for that. But your sound is wonderful too. I really like the, at least for this album that I was again listening to on repeat, it's just so upbeat. And I think we're living in a time where I need a lot of upbeat you know, happy sounding music. Same thing with movies. I just need to watch comedies at this point. The world is too sad. Yeah. I can't watch the news.
Very true. They're the same way.
Yeah. So I read, it might have even been in your press release, but I read that you guys say that your fans are somewhat of a quote unquote cult following. And I'm curious if that affords you a closer relationship with your fans. Are you able to interact with them in a way that, you know, you might not have been able to were you the Beatles or something?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. We do have our following has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And so we started with a small cult following. Now we got a big cult following. So, but yeah, we have fans that literally drive all over the country to see us for several shows, you know, kind of like the Deadheads would do, you know. And,
well, we got people that come from all over the world.
Actually, there's a girl here right now who's a big fan of ours, and she's such a great promoter of the band. She lives in Germany. And we get to New Orleans the other night, and there she was, and she's a great gal. And
I copy most of our social media posts from her. And yeah, her name's Jess, and she's got an Instagram handle like Mod Billy and Beyond. And so I don't know how she has time to do it, because she's constantly making posts about, you know, whatever we're up to, whatever the shows are. But also anybody that's been in the band before, like Brad Davis and Teddy and Mike Butler, because they all have bands and projects they're doing. I mean, she posts about one of our crew guys wrote a movie that was made, and so she'll put information about anytime his movie's being shown somewhere. Basically anybody in our orbit, you know, any of our friends, she is a nonstop promotion machine. And so literally I just copy a bunch of her posts and repost them, because, you know, we don't have time or the skills to socially media promote ourselves. So it's you know, but yeah, we have fans like that that basically work for us to help promote the band. And we couldn't do this without them. I'm sure a lot of, you know, the success we're having is because our fans are tireless promoters of us. And
showed up in New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's going to like 10 or 12 shows. She's coming from Germany to do that. And she's friends with some of our other fans from here on social media. So they all meet up with each other. And there's a couple from Pennsylvania who have been coming to our shows forever. And they were in Nashville yesterday. And now they're hooked up with Jess. Bill and Jen are their names. And they're all going to travel together and go to another 10 or 12 shows together. So they've met through us, you know, and it's a cool thing.
And they're all friends with our bus driver, and, you know, they're sharing photos of where the bus parks in the morning. It's really funny. We love that they, you know, love what we do so much that they want to just, you know, help out in any way they can. We really appreciate it.
And we connect with the audience during shows too. I mean, we're not the kind of band that sort of just plays the songs and then says see you later, you know. We actually sometimes between songs we'll tell the story of how the next song was written, or something funny about what happened when it was, you know, things like that. And I think audiences deserve some kind of connection with the band on stage, you know, instead of just sort of going up there and pretending you got a mask on and just get it over with, you know.
Absolutely. I love that. And it's nice that your fans have kind of built their own family within this unit. That's great. So this is my last question, then I'm going to let you guys nap or do whatever you can do to prepare for tonight. So what can audiences expect for your Jersey performances? You know, what's your set list look like? Is it this album, a mix of albums? Are you trying to surprise folks?
You know, it's a mix of albums, but mainly from the last three or four albums. I mean, we're not playing anything really old, except we start our show with a song called Emily that my brother wrote in the 80s. And we close the show with a song he wrote in the 80s. So it's always been a tradition of ours, you know, to open and close the show, because he passed away in 88 and he was a great songwriter. So we open and close the show with those songs, and those songs go all the way back to my solo days before the Boxmasters even existed. So those are the oldest.
We play those two songs every show
forever
that I've ever played.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do you know, have a couple of songs from the new record. We have a couple of songs that are from the brand new stuff that we just recorded. And then, you know, sprinkled in, there's a few songs. It's like you said, you know, from the last 6 or 8 years of us, of our recordings. That's, you know, what the show is. And it is an up-tempo, loud rock and roll show. And, you know, we have 5 guys on stage, 2 guitars, bass, drums. Billy's our front man. And, you know, we get out there and put on an old school rock and roll show. It's
and people need to know it's original too.
Yeah, exactly. It's all original songs from our records that we've written. And it's, you know, just a 90-minute roller coaster of rock and roll. But it is loud. We're not a country band. We're not up there doing some sort of, you know, show tunes act or anything. We're an old school 60s and 70s inspired rock and roll band. And so if you like the music of the Beatles and the Birds and the Beach Boys and the Kinks and the Ramones, you know, then that's the kind of show you're going to see.
Yeah. The only time it ever gets difficult is when you look out in the audience and there are people there that sort of just came out of curiosity that haven't seen us before. And they kind of stare at you a little bit, but, you know, in other words, if a guy comes in wearing like one of those Garth Brooks shirts, the double snap Western shirts with a big cowboy hat on, he's usually going to be the one that goes to the concession stand a lot.
Well, I don't know about him, but I am excited by a 90-minute roller coaster of rock and roll. And when I was listening to your album, I did hear the influences, you know, the Beatles and Beach Boys in there too. Like it's just such a fun vibe. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm glad you guys are coming to Jersey, which is great.
The Boxmasters Tour is bringing them to 2 fantastic Jersey theaters this June. You can catch them on June 21st at the Lavoie Theater in Millville, New Jersey, and then again on June 24th at the Pollock Theater at the Monmouth University Center for the Arts in West Long Branch, New Jersey. For more information, be sure to visit theboxmasters.com. If you liked this episode, be sure to review, subscribe, and tell your friends. A transcript of this podcast, links relevant to the story, and more about the arts in New Jersey can be found at jerseyarts.com. The Jersey Arts Podcast is presented by Art Pride New Jersey, advancing a state of creativity since 1986. The show was co-founded by and currently supported by funds from the New Jersey State Council on the Arts, with additional support from the National Endowment for the Arts. This episode was hosted, edited, and produced by me, Gina Marie Rodriguez. Executive producers are Jim Atkinson and C. Stroud. I'd like to extend a very special thanks to our guests, J.D. Andrew and Billy Bob Thornton. I'm Gina Marie Rodriguez for the Jersey Arts Podcast. Thanks for listening.